Today, I am sharing my birth story. And you guys, I know everybody says this, but my experience was completely unexpected. I went from planning on having a natural birth to a planned C-section. Bit of a turn of events, to say the least. So I'm going to be sharing with you guys what happened, how that all came about. And truly the most beautiful thing was that the Lord was just so incredibly present amidst all of the changes that happened in the beautiful birth story of my sweet little girl. So let's dive in, you guys. Welcome to the Fit Feed by Reed podcast, created for the woman of faith who wants to make lasting lifestyle change for her health. Learn to pray, worship, and seek the Word of God for answers that spiritually equip you to dodge the quick fix trends of the diet and fitness industry. As we read in 1 Timothy 4:8, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a community of women that knows every day is a new opportunity to strengthen her temple and, most importantly, flourish in her love of Christ. We are moved by Him. Hello, my friends. So good to be back with you guys. I took a bit of a hiatus after having sweet little baby girl. I took a couple months, but we are back in action and it feels good to be behind the mic, you guys. So I figured I would kick things off with my birth story. You know, it's funny because when I was pregnant, I really enjoyed hearing the birth stories of people that I knew personally, and was very encouraged by them. But I reached a point where I had listened to some birth stories from strangers, and I kind of got to this point where I was like, okay, I don't know if I can handle any more birth stories from strangers, because I was like, I know that things are just unexpected and you never know. It's like, okay, yes, there's an element of being prepared through the stories of others. But for me anyway, I kind of reached a point where I was like, okay, I can only handle so many birth stories. But I know that some people find this incredibly encouraging and helpful to even just hear about the different twists and turns that can happen, because there's so much that can be unexpected when it comes to birth. I think that the word unexpected is incredibly, frankly, overused around birth stories, but it's accurate, and that's why it's used so much. So my birth story is exactly that, totally unexpected. It was essentially the opposite of what I planned for, and not in a bad way. I think the beautiful thing was that God was so present every step of the way. And that's what I really want to just highlight and share with you guys. I'll talk you through really everything today. What I planned for, what I prepared for, what happened, recovery, all that good stuff. So I want to start by kicking things off with a little bit of prayer, and then I will share more juicy details with you guys. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing of this time today just to connect with those that are listening. Lord, I pray that this would be a blessing to those that are pregnant, that are hoping to conceive, women that have had babies, women that just want to hear about the journey of somebody else. I just pray, Lord, that you'd be present in the AirPods or the headphones of those that are listening, and just that you would use me as a vessel for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to start with this. The verse that I had kind of selected as my labor and delivery verse is 2 Corinthians 12:9. And that verse reads, "And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me." And I picked this verse because I wanted to just have the words in my head that, Lord, your power is perfected in my weakness. Your power is perfected in my weakness. Because I figured that, hey, if I was actually going through a natural birth, which is what I initially had planned for, that there would be moments that were challenging or uncomfortable. And don't get me wrong, that did end up happening even with a C-section, but in a different way. And this verse, I'm so glad that I was standing on this and I had this before everything took a turn, because I think it just gave me an overwhelming amount of peace when I really felt to some degree that I didn't have, you really just don't have total control. There's no way to when it comes to labor and delivery. So let's start from the beginning. When I got pregnant and the first handful of months, I knew pretty early on that I wanted to plan for a natural birth. I think for me, it wasn't like some specific moment where I knew. I knew that that was what I was going to select and try to aim for. And I think a lot of that was because I work in a profession where I'm very in tune with my body. I'm very intentional about how I take care of my body. I coach others to do the same. And I kind of saw it as this fun challenge of like putting my body to the test of childbirth. And I really wanted to experience it fully in the way that God had made it. And that was really the motivation behind why I wanted to seek a natural childbirth. Now, that being said, I knew all along that if anything changed, I wasn't fearful or afraid of things going in a different direction. I had even told my husband, like, hey, if the pain gets really, really crazy and I need an epidural, totally fine. But I basically prepared with the intention of, hey, I'm going to have a natural birth. I read numerous books on this, listened to podcasts, talked with other women that I knew, other women that were close to me that had natural births, and just got their recommendations. Which, by the way, if you are thinking about this, I highly recommend the book Ina May's Guide to Childbirth if you're thinking about, you know, considering natural childbirth. I found that this was the most helpful of all the books and resources that I read. So suggest that for sure. Now, leading up to my due date, you know, everything with my pregnancy was smooth. There were no complications. It seemed in many ways that like, hey, natural childbirth was going to make great and good sense. And it wasn't, things literally did not change until I went in for my 40-week appointment. So literally the day before my due date, I went in for my appointment to have an ultrasound and for the doctor to check dilation and all that jazz. So long story short, I found out that my baby's head circumference was in the 95th percentile, and she was also already 8.5 pounds, which is big. It's not massive for a baby, but it is big. But the bigger concern was the head circumference. So I hadn't done a bunch of research on head circumference and concerns until the doctor came in, and she just said, hey, you know, just so you're aware, she said it very kindly and lovingly, but she just said, just so you're aware, there is a risk of emergency C-section when a baby has a head circumference this big, which, okay, it makes sense, right? I don't need to explain to you how a baby comes out. It makes plenty good sense. And so she mentioned that. She checked my dilation. I hadn't started dilating, and I kind of didn't really think too much about it. She just said, hey, I want to make sure you're aware of this, and she didn't elaborate too much. So the one thing we actually did talk about in that appointment is I was already at 40 weeks. I was not dilated at all and had had really no sort of symptoms or signs that anything had started in terms of labor. And so I had asked her, hey, you know, I would actually like to plan for an induction at 41 weeks, especially knowing that my baby was already pretty big. And so we did actually plan, we, you know, scheduled to have a planned induction at 41 weeks if I had not gone into labor by that point, which that already was obviously starting to kind of derail my natural birth plans to some point. But I wasn't fearful of that. I just wanted to make sure that everything was healthy, safe, and the baby came out, you know, I was more set on me being healthy and baby being healthy than like, I have to have a natural birth, which I'm grateful that I was giving myself that grace from the get-go. So long story short, I went home from that appointment and it kind of crossed my mind for a moment, like, I wonder if 95th percentile head circumference is the sort of thing that might cause a woman to plan for a C-section rather than just, you know, see what happens. And it was funny that kind of flashed through my mind. I called my mom and told her about what we had found out in the appointment. And she called me later that night and the same thing had flashed through her head. And she was like, you know, it might be worth considering a planned C-section if the baby's head is that big. And we had this moment. We both, you know, really love and appreciate digging into research on things and finding data. And so we both simultaneously on our computers were hunting down research on basically the risk of delivering a baby vaginally with a head circumference that large. Found a couple resources that were very, very compelling in our decision. My decision, really. So basically, there was one specific study that had a very large participant pool. It was actually 25,000 participants. The study was pretty recent. It was 2010 to 2012. And to summarize what this said, it basically said babies with greater than 95th percentile head circumference, basically 38% of those babies were delivered via C-section of the 25,000. 38%. So that's not insignificant whatsoever. That's more than one in three. And 16% of those 38% of babies, it was an unplanned C-section. And that actually is double that of babies that have less than a 95th percentile head circumference. So this makes sense. The research also showed that large body size has significantly less impact on C-section risk than head circumference, because, not shockingly, understandably, the skull has, you know, obviously there are, the plates are able to shift within a baby's head more than in an adult, but the head has more, less give, shall we say, than other parts of the body. So even shoulder dystocia, which is the shoulders getting stuck, is another point for consideration when you have a larger baby. But large body size has significantly less impact on C-section risk than head circumference. The biggest thing beyond the risk of emergency C-section was also this piece that this specific research, understandably, it wasn't what they were focusing on, but they didn't have any statistics on how many of those vaginal deliveries resulted in a third or fourth degree tear. Now, for anyone who has never had a baby and has never had to research this, third and fourth degree tears are no joke. So a fourth degree tear is literally when your perineum tears into your sphincter.
Uh-oh.
And understandably, this can lead to anal incontinence, which is exactly what it sounds like. You can't hold in your number two. Some studies actually out there even show that one in four women, so about 25% of women with fourth degree tearing, have anal incontinence. And more than one in 10 women with third degree tearing can be subject to the same sort of experience. And, you know, I think that this was another factor of, like, beyond the baby coming out safely, because I didn't want the baby getting stuck in my birth canal. Like, okay, we can't get this baby out. And I know that emergency C-sections happen all the time, but I didn't want to be a part of that sort of, like, frantic experience of, we got to put her under, you know, anesthesia. Maybe I would have had to have gone under general anesthesia, because that is more common with emergency C-sections. You do not go under general when it's a planned C-section normally. And, you know, then you don't have the benefit of the skin to skin right afterward, because you're, you know, still under anesthesia. And so there were just all these factors around the baby and the baby's health. And then also around my, you know, lower parts being able to function properly post delivering a baby. And, you know, there just was so many pieces as we were pulling all this data. There was another research study that we dug into that said that basically there's about a 2.5 times higher complication risk with an unplanned C-section compared to planned, which makes great sense. So we were scouring all this data. I was able to talk with my doctor, I think it was a day or two later. I'm trying to remember the exact timeline. I know it was no more than 2 days, because my doctor was out and I had to get a call back from another doctor. So it was kind of this, like, stressful period where basically I was already at my due date and we're like, oh, we're changing plans. And as much as it was stressful in the sense that we were doing a ton of research and trying to get all these stats straight so we could talk with the doctor properly and make sure that we were getting the information that we needed and just advocating for ourselves, I also, once again, just had this overwhelming peace. I was like, it's going to be fine. Like, this baby has been healthy. This pregnancy has been smooth. She's going to come out fine. We didn't know she was a she at that point, by the way. We did the whole surprise thing, which was a blast. Highly recommend. But it was, I just felt this peace. Even in this moment that was, could be perceived as not very peaceful. So I talked with the doctor and she essentially said, hey, we don't have a crystal ball. We don't know. These were her words. We don't have a crystal ball, which, of course, I don't align with the crystal ball thing. But she was trying to give an analogy for, hey, we don't know what's going to happen. And she said, you know, there's plenty of women with baby heads this big inside of them that deliver vaginally and it's totally fine and smooth. And there's women where it's not totally fine and smooth. And we just don't know what's going to happen. And so she basically said, hey, this is totally up to you. We completely understand if you want to decide for a planned C-section. We also understand if you want to try to deliver vaginally. So I had pretty much already made up my mind at this point, and I just said, hey, you know what? I'd love to get in connection with the scheduler because I want to plan for a C-section. Now, at this point, I was already 1 day past my due date. So I asked the doctor, because she said, hey, just so you're aware, you probably aren't going to be able to get in for a couple days. Due to scheduling, we know what the books kind of look like and they're pretty busy. I was like, okay, so what happens if I go into labor today, tomorrow, the following day, because I'm already past my due date? And she basically said, hey, you're going to come in. We will confirm that you're in labor. So if, you know, you start having contractions, your water breaks, whatever, come in as you normally would. Once we've confirmed that you're in labor, we will simply prep you for a planned C-section the same exact way that we would if you did not go into labor and you just came in on the scheduled date. And I said, okay, great. So that gave me some peace. You know, I think the biggest thing for me was that I was a little bit concerned about labor starting and the baby starting to move further south because she already was sitting really low. And then that just causing an extra layer of challenge when they had to actually go about the C-section. But once again, God had the whole thing in his hands. And this was really, really special. The scheduler called me that day and she's like, hey, heard you're, you know, seeking for a planned C-section. The first day we have available is another 4 days from now. So I'm thinking, okay. At that point, I was going to be 5 days past my due date. The really beautiful thing was this. That day, the scheduled day that they had available, was the third anniversary of my husband and I's first date.
Aww.
And I'm always one of those people I have in my phone. I call it our dateversary. And I have that date in my phone. I always know what that day is. It's just something that, you know, we always do something special. And I turned to my husband and I was like, wow, how cool is that? Like, that is how perfect God's design is. And of course, we didn't know if she was going to come before that. And she didn't. So the morning of my planned C-section, woke up super early, like 4 a.m. sort of situation, arrived at the hospital a couple hours before the actual surgery so they can do prep, all that jazz, get the IV in, all those things. I have never had major surgery that required me to stay overnight at the hospital. And so I kind of, you know, I didn't entirely know what to expect, but I also went into it feeling pretty calm and just, you know, hey, this is in God's hands. Everything went super smooth, which was amazing. I would say the smallest of blips was the fact that while they were trying to basically get my IV inserted, so they were trying to find my vein, my body was like cold and shaky and I actually threw up, which of course I had almost nothing in my body at that point because you can't eat a certain number of hours before surgery. So basically threw up liquid, which was interesting. But I'm kind of glad that it happened then because sometimes the anesthesia can actually induce vomiting, and everything was already out of my system by the time that I went into the operating room, so that was not an issue. I had spinal anesthesia, so basically you're just numb from the waist down, and that was definitely, there was definitely some kind of like, they have to insert a number of needles into your spine to get the anesthesia where it needs to be. And I had a couple kind of like, ooh, like, you know, jumping moments where you just breathe through it, you pray through it. And I kept standing on that verse of, Lord, your strength is made perfect in my weakness. And things went super smoothly. So the one thing that I think was like the craziest bit of the whole like operating room experience was my doctor actually checked to see if I was dilated at all at this point, since I was 5 days past due and I had literally no dilation yet. So I don't know when our baby girl was planning on entering this world, but she was real cozy in there, like real cozy. So, you know, even if we hadn't planned for the C-section, the probability of us, of me having to have been induced, because I would have been induced 2 days later, the probability of that having happened was probably quite high anyway. So it was kind of funny. I had this moment where I turned to my husband after we had decided for the planned C-section. I was like, wow, I spent so much time reading books, talking to people, listening to podcasts, preparing for natural birth. And then, of course, it literally all went out the window. I mean, I wrote a birth plan, like the whole deal. I rewrote my birth plan multiple times. And, you know, we kind of just chuckled about it because I was like, you know what? The cool thing is that it prepared me for the fact that I didn't know what was coming while still informing me about what the process looks like to have a baby. And I, you know, obviously after knowing that I was planning for a C-section, I started informing myself even more about what that process looked like. I'm one of those people where the more information I have, the more at peace I feel oftentimes. And even in those days leading up to the scheduled C-section, I, this is hilarious. I, for some reason, had this kick where I was like, I really want to watch dogs on YouTube giving birth. Like, I feel like that's going to bring me peace. And it did. And there was this little video of a Pomeranian who was giving birth to one single Pomeranian, but the Pomeranian baby was really big, the puppy. And so she had to have a C-section to get the puppy out. And I was like, oh, I'm the Pomeranian. And I don't know what it was, but something so silly, but so warming and just beautiful, that was super soothing to me, in addition to doing some research and just praying and continuing to stand on 2 Corinthians 12:9. And so the beautiful thing was that there was just immense peace through all of this. Another interesting element for me to throw out there is that once our baby girl actually came out, she actually ended up having a slightly smaller head circumference and she weighed slightly less than we expected her to. So the funny thing was, in theory, I actually would have had a better probability of having a smooth vaginal delivery, but I still felt total peace about the decision we made because we made the best decision we could with the information we had at the time, and ultrasounds aren't perfectly correct, but that's the only information you have to go off of. And so the doctors were helpful. The, you know, I think even just my mom and my husband, like there was just so many people that were helping us to figure out what needed to happen. And it went super smoothly, super, super smoothly. Recovery has been very smooth. Definitely doing a lot of exercises to heal up core and pelvic floor. Obviously my pelvic floor didn't go through quite as much trauma with a C-section, but just from carrying a baby for so many months, it's important to do work that strengthens that region so you have, you know, full functionality, all that good stuff. And I've definitely been doing a lot of walking, light movement to encourage circulation and healing through my body as well. So just so, so grateful for God's God's presence is always around us, but I think the way that I really opened up to feeling and welcoming in his presence and his guidance and direction in this process was huge. I'm just so grateful for that when things totally went exactly not as how I planned. Everyone had told me, hey, stay open to the fact that things can change. And I can't tell you how many people I had heard that from. You know, it's like, oh yeah, I have a birth plan. They're like, hey, just be aware, things can change. I'm like, yeah, no, I know, but I'm planning, I'm prepping. Like, I'm type A, which is true. And I want to encourage you in the same fashion, because even though I heard it so many times, like, hey, be prepared for the unexpected, I think that it really did prepare me to, as best as you can be prepared for what you don't know is coming. And holding things open-handed is just so vital in life, but especially with something like this, when there's so much you don't know when you've never been through it before, at least for me, because I'd never had a baby before. And there's something that's so beautiful about it, no matter how your baby comes into the world. It doesn't matter if it's C-section, if it's vaginal, if it's emergency C-section, like it, there's just, birth is beautiful, and holding it with that open hand allows you to really embrace that. So I just want to encourage you, if you are expecting, if you are hoping to conceive soon, whatever it is, I'm going to share the same advice that I got 9 million times, which is be open to the fact that it's probably not going to go exactly as you plan. Remember that God has perfect plans and we can't always see what's around the corner. The verse Jeremiah 29:11 reminds us of this. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for prosperity and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. He knows the plans he has for you. He knows them perfectly, right? He has your life written out before it plays out. When you're in your mother's womb, he has your entire life written out, which is wild to think about. So key takeaway I want to share is this. Prepare as best you can, but hold your labor and delivery experience with open hands, as I just mentioned. That was so vital in me just enjoying the process, embracing the process, seeing beauty in all of it, even as things shifted and changed. And I'm so grateful to everyone who encouraged me with that same message along the way, because it totally equipped me as best as I could be for a super unexpected labor experience. But we're here, we're healthy, baby's healthy, I'm healthy. And it was a really beautiful experience, as much as it was totally not what I had planned. So if you have any questions, don't be afraid to reach out. I know that that can be really, really helpful to, you know, ask questions of those who have been through something that maybe you are on the brink of experiencing or whatever it may be. Don't be afraid to message me on Instagram, shoot me an email, whatever it is. But I love you guys, and I hope that this is helpful. That is my birth story, my friends. We'll chat soon. Thank you for tuning into the Fit Feed by Reed podcast. May you keep your eyes fixed on the Lord in the coming days and be refreshed by his promises. If this episode had a positive impact on you, I would be honored to have you share it with someone you know could also benefit from it. Blessings to you.